Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
You're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's February 27, 2007, and this is show number 16. On today's show, we interview Jennifer Robinson, a co-founder of a high-tech software company who writes a blog about children's books. We also talk about The Cat in the Hat, how to balance the responsibilities of adulthood with the fun of childhood, and share the latest progress of Escape Plan TV.
Take me back to when I was a child, when everything was good enough and was good enough for the wild. Coyote sleeps in the moonlight, rabbit goes by the day, snake winds around on a hot afternoon, and eagle flies on his way. Take me back now if you can. Take me back now to the land where the people sleep in the moonlight, the children run in the daylight, and that feeling never dies, but it may go away for a while.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason with my wife Kim saying hi from Studio 203 in Madison, Wisconsin. You can get in touch with us by sending an email to podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call at our brand new voicemail line, 608-554-0803.
Hello.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Not too shabby.
Yeah. Don't you just love our new intro music?
I do. Ethan.
Thank you,
he's
Ethan.
He's awesome. Yes.
We love it.
Well, we had a great weekend because we got snowed in.
Yes.
Kind of probably a foot or a little over.
Yeah, 14 to 17, they like to say.
Something like that. So everything was shut down. And
it was awesome.
And it was kind of fun to spend some time just being. Okay, now for our mindbender question. This is a question we're going to ask now, and we'll reveal the answer at the end of the show.
Okay.
Since we're talking about children's books today, I thought it would be appropriate to pull one out of the Dr. Seuss's books. And the question is, how old was the Dr. Seuss character Cindy Lou Who?
Who's Cindy Lou Who?
A Dr. Seuss character.
Who?
I'm not going to tell you what book she came
from.
Oh, you're
not?
So I steal it. No.
Aww.
If you're a fan, you would know.
Oh.
Cindy Lou Who. How old is she?
Okay.
Okay, now we have some feedback. The feedback section. We're going to play a voicemail from our friend from Australia, Ian Turrell.
Yes.
He's one of the first people to call in to our new line, which again is 608-554-0803. And we just had to leave this message. He's left a message. Said a little joke.
Yeah.
And we just love his accent. We're just, you know, cheesy
We're
Americans.
So American.
But, yeah.
But, you know, it's a good, as you'll hear, his voicemail is a good example of just call to say hi. You don't necessarily have to, you know, have this big, you know, thing you want to talk about.
Big, profound statement.
Yeah. If you do, you know, share that also, but you don't have to.
Yeah. So here we go. Here is Ian.
Good morning. Well, it's morning for another 25 minutes where I am. I said I'd leave you another message. It's Ian Tyrrell, or Rodeo Town, depending upon which email address you're reading from. I just thought I'd say g'day, see how you're going, although I'm not likely to get much of a response seeing this is voicemail. I hope you guys are having a great day, or night, as the case may be over there. Enjoy the rest of your day and or night. Sleep well, or enjoy being up. I don't really have much else to say. I'm not very good with voicemail. I just leave long, rambling messages that don't really go anywhere. Yeah. I could tell you a joke. I may as well. This is my favorite joke. It's not particularly uncrude, but it's nice. A pirate walks into a bar, and the bartender says, "Hey, you've got a steering wheel down your pants." He says, "Arr, it's driving me nuts."
Thank you, Ian. That was a pretty good little
joke,
wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, pirates are a big theme right now.
Yeah, that's good. if you have any comments, questions, or feedback on how to make the show better, if you have a joke you want to share, whatever, we'd love to hear it. Just send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com or give us a call from any phone at 608-554-0803. Plus, if you would be so kind to help us out and vote for us on Podcast Alley, there's a link in the show notes, and tell a friend about this show, because we love to get new listeners all the time, and we appreciate your input.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
Good evening. Here is the news for Paris.
I look good. I mean, really good.
Hey, everyone! Come and see how good I look!
Okay, time for the news.
I have a story here from the Florida Times Union, dated February 26, 2007. Headline, New Book Takes Us Closer to Seuss. A seminal book in children's literature celebrates the 50th anniversary of its publication during 2007. It's called The Cat in the Hat. Mm. To celebrate the anniversary, Random House published The Annotated Cat, Under the Hats of Seuss and His Cats by Philip Nell. It offers one of the most detailed looks ever published about the cat. Did you know that The Cat in the Hat is written with a vocabulary of only 236 words?
Really?
It is true. This is one of the little tidbits of trivia that is in this book. Hmm. My favorite part here from this article, it talks about something that Dr. Seuss said about his response to questions about where his ideas originated.
Which now, tends to be like the number one question anyone asks.
Yes, I get this all the time as a cartoonist.
Where do you get your ideas?
So this is a classic. This is what Dr. Seuss would tell people.
Okay.
This is the most asked question of any successful author. Most authors will not disclose their source for fear that other, less successful authors will chisel in on their territory. However, I am willing to take that chance. I get all my ideas in Switzerland, near the Forca Pass. There is a little town called Gletsch, and 2,000 feet above Gletsch, there is a smaller hamlet called Uberglutsch. I go there on the 4th of August every summer to get my cuckoo clock repaired. While the cuckoo is in the hospital, I wander around and talk to the people in the streets. They are very strange people, and I get my ideas from them. So there you go.
That sounds very much like a book
Uberglutsch
that he would write.
That is where we will be going on our next vacation.
In Switzerland?
Yes, in Switzerland. What do you got, Kim?
Oh, yes. I have an article by Colleen Kilpatrick, and it's called For the Fun of It. She says, how many times have we heard the question, how was your day? Followed by, great, I got a lot done. With the accomplishments of tasks and the achievement of goals as the yardstick of our personal and professional value, it is not surprising that the things we really enjoy, the activities that energize us and put a smile on our face, are low on our list of priorities. We must schedule time for fun and play, just as we do our meetings, appointments, and errands. Otherwise, it won't happen. Know that a day or an hour spent having fun will enable you to return to the responsibilities of adulthood with a fresh perspective and a cheerful attitude. If you have been putting off having fun for a long time, you might find it difficult remembering what you consider fun. If this is the case, think back to what you did for fun as a child. Often, the activities you enjoyed as a kid will provide you the same sense of magic and delight as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was very true of our culture, isn't it?
Right.
Like, everything's to do. And she goes on to say that, you know, basically there's an endless to-do box or an endless inbox in life, and it's never empty.
Yeah.
So if you're not scheduling it, it won't happen. The other cool thing I wanted to share is that she talks about it's important to hang out with hoots.
Hoots. What's a hoot?
A hoot is slang for a funny person.
Ah.
And it doesn't necessarily have to be like, you know, Adam Sandler. It could be just someone who...
Could be Will Ferrell, perhaps.
Well, or, you know...
My brother.
Yeah. Someone who doesn't take themselves too seriously. And then she also said, like, in order to hang out with hoots, you need to be a hoot, because hoots attract hoots. They don't like to hang around with boring people.
Right, right.
And then she also talks about performing random acts of hootness.
Nice.
So you have to read the whole article, because I really enjoyed that part of it. But just kind of like we talked about with Jennifer, like, you know, just that whole bringing, as you'll hear in the interview coming up, that whole, like, how do we balance the childhood and adulthood?
Right. And I like, too, it harkens back to our interview last month with Liz Green about what you're passionate about. And the things that you were passionate about as a kid,
exactly,
you can bring back into your adult lives. So this is a theme that we weave through it all, right?
Yes. Definitely.
Very good. Speaking of Jennifer Robinson, we are happy to have her with us. We recently did an interview with her. She is a really cool person, has kind of an interesting dual life thing going on, which we'll talk to her about. And she just has some really good perspectives on balancing adulthood responsibility and childlike fun. So without further ado, here is the interview with Jennifer Robinson. Jennifer Robinson is a Massachusetts native who now lives in San Jose, California. She is the co-founder of a software company called FabTime that helps computer chip manufacturers make their products more quickly. She also maintains a blog which promotes the love of books by children and the continued reading of children's books by adults. Jennifer, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for asking me.
You bet. Why don't you just start off, tell us a little bit about your day job, and then tell us a little bit about what you do on the side.
Okay. My day job, we started this company about 7 years ago, and we work with the companies that make computer chips to kind of show them where there are problems in their factory so that they can improve things.
Okay. Cool.
And I end up doing a lot of sales and marketing and training and write a publication for that and all sorts of things like that. And then about a year ago, I started my blog, and as Jason said, it's trying to generally promote children's books. My main thing is that I would like to help people who want to raise kids who like to read books, because I think it's important for kids to at least have the opportunity to grow up enjoying books.
Yeah,
that's cool. So I mean, when you described what you do, okay, I was on your other website, the actual company website, and it talked about it, and it's completely over my head. So you did a really good job of saying,
simplifying
in layman's terms for us, you know, plebes down here, of exactly what it is you do with, you know, the computer chips and stuff. And you're quite a smart gal also. It's just, it seems so interesting to me, the dichotomy. And I think we've talked a little bit about it over email and through the blogs and stuff. But do you ever struggle with this balance between the seemingly strange dichotomy between this very technological, grown-up kind of job and then this blog that is devoted to children's books? And particularly, like, do you struggle with how people perceive you in one way or the other?
Good question. Yeah, I mean, I struggle with it every day, with balancing the two things. I think the thing I struggle with more than how people perceive me is just a time issue. Because I, you know, since I started the blog, I have this thing that I'm really passionate about, and I would like to spend all my time on it.
Right.
But, you know, I have this other responsibility to this company, and that pays the bills, and I have a reputation there, and so, you know, I'm constantly kind of wrestling with how to find more time for both of those things. And I have some thoughts about how I do that, but your other part of the question about struggling with how people perceive me, not so much. I did at first, but I've had pretty good reactions from people. You know, there's a few people that I know through my work that I've gradually come to tell them about their blog and about my blog, and most people are really open about it. A lot of people have kids, and so, you know, anything that might help them to help their kids, they're in favor of.
That's cool.
Well, it's such a resource for just getting ideas for different age groups, and the amount of depth that you put into your reviews are just really notable, I think, because, I mean, to be honest, when I was teaching, I taught kindergarten for 5 years. I wish your blog was around then so that I could have jumped, you know, like to be able to have a taste of a book and a taste of different things, because even, you know, bringing chapter books into classroom and stuff like that, I didn't really necessarily have time to read the whole book, but I really wanted to know if it would be good to read to the kids, you know, and I think your blog, I'm sure, is serving that purpose for a lot of people.
I hope so. I hear sometimes from teachers, and I hear that a lot from parents, you know, that they just, there's so many books out there and they just don't know where to start. And,
right.
So I can, if I can help them filter through some of that and make some suggestions, then that in turn, ultimately I want to help the kids, but I think the best way for me at this point to help the kids is to help the parents and the teachers in their lives to help them.
Hmm. That's cool. I think you had talked about the balance thing, and I think when people hear about what I talk about, sometimes, you know, you get the people who think I'm advocating that we all quit our jobs and kind of live in a fairyland somewhere. But really, I think what I try to advocate is how can we kind of bring that childlike spirit into our everyday lives and still be normal, responsible, everyday adults. And you mentioned that you sometimes have a problem or struggle, I guess, of trying to not spend too much time on the blog because you like it so much. What are some of the tips that you would give for people who have something they're really passionate about and how they can kind of fit it into their lives?
I spent a little time thinking about that, actually. I think the biggest thing is you have to give yourself permission to prioritize it.
Mm.
I've had the blog for a little over a year, but it's actually only recently that I've started really blocking out time on my calendar and saying, oh, I have this important event related to the blog going on this week, and I'm not going to go on that business trip.
Mm-hmm.
And so just giving myself permission to put some time on my calendar has really helped for me.
Mm.
And then the other thing is, if you make commitments to other people, then that obviously helps you to prioritize.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, I volunteer at, a local library,
mm-hmm.
and I tell them if I'm not traveling, I'm going to come in at this time every week. And sometimes I'm busy with work and I think, oh, I don't have time to do that, but I'm always really glad I went,
mm-hmm.
Cause it kind of provides clarity for me. So if you make commitments to other people relative about what your childlike thing that you're trying to do is, then you show yourself that it's important to you.
Those are great tips.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's giving yourself permission and, of course, not feeling guilty about it, of spending the time on it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think one more point about that is not feeling guilty about it is just, I really think that what I'm doing is important.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just like I'm giving myself permission to sit around and watch television all day or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No,
right.
And so that makes a big difference, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like I'm just looking for ways to get out of my work. It's that I have this other thing that I'm passionate about, and so I'm looking for ways to proactively spend time on it.
Right.
That's cool. Because I think, you know, sometimes another thing people think is that whatever they're really passionate about, they should try to figure out how to make that a career. And I think you're a good example of, you know, maybe someday in your life, this other thing will become a career, but there is a way to do stuff, and I'm sure you're also interested in computers and enjoy your other job as well, but is a way to be able to combine both of them. So one is not necessarily relegated to just a hobby that is shoved off, but is also something that can be something that you put a lot of serious time in, and it can be really helpful to other people, which is a really great example that you provide, I think.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think that's what I'd really like to do, is keep trying to find the right balance between the two without having to feel like I need to give up either of the two.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm curious, Jennifer, where does this passion for children's books come from? Like, is it something from a particular, you know, experience, and where did the idea for the blog come from?
Ah, good questions. I think I just never gave up children's books. You know, I was a real bookworm when I was a kid, and as I got older, I still would just keep going back and revisiting my favorite books. And in college, I would use it as a study break sometimes,
yeah.
Especially in grad school. And so I always was interested in the children's books. And then when people I knew started having children, I was just found that I got really passionate about picking out books for them, and reading books with them, and watching them, you know, grow up and be interested in books. And so I had been talking about that for for a while to friends saying, oh, I wish I could do more with this because I don't have children of my own. I don't work in a job where I can use this.
Mm-hmm.
And two different friends independently said, oh, you should start a blog.
Oh, nice.
And one weekend I just did. I didn't really do a lot of research. I just sat down and I did it. And there's been no turning back. It found me. It was exactly the right combination of reading and writing and communicating to match with my skills that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course there've been all these positive consequences since I started it because publishers are sending me books and authors.
Wow.
Positive, you know, external reinforcement, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also helped me to be closer to some of the people in my life because my friends will read the blog and my friends who have children will write and send me suggestions and things like that. So it's actually strengthening ties that way too.
That's so cool.
It's really great.
Yeah. How'd you get into the children's books? Did your parents kind of bring you up on the level of reading? Was it a specific teacher or just something that you just kind of picked up when you were real little and did on your own?
My mom was a reader, and so I actually, a lot of the books that I have today are books that were hers and even her mother's.
Wow.
So there was definitely a family tradition. And I'm told that my dad read to me a lot. I was the oldest, and that he read to me a lot when I was little. I don't really remember it, but I think that made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother volunteered in a library at her church, and she used to take me in with her. And she actually, as an adult, as an elderly person, still read children's books. So I think I always saw that it was totally normal to read and to read children's books. And there certainly are studies that show that that's the biggest factor for kids to grow up liking books, is if someone that they see on a regular basis enjoys books.
Interesting.
No coincidence there, huh?
Yeah. It works. And reading to them, too, makes a big difference.
Right.
So I think I had those things. I volunteered in my elementary school library when I was young. And
you were a bookworm, that's for sure.
That's awesome.
It was.
That's so cool.
What is it about children's books? What do you love the most? Because to me, it's this. I love the stories, but the illustrations. Being
you're
the artistic.
A little biased.
Yeah, I'm a little biased. So I'm always like, I like picture books, and I like the ones that are like the old ones, like monochromatic with like three colors. It's like I could deal less with those, but
is it David Wiesner?
David Wiesner, I think. Yeah,
yeah.
He has some cool picture books, but like, what is it for you? Is it the story? Is it the pictures? Is it the escape? Is it everything?
It's mostly story. I just love stories. Always have. And I think the stories in children's books are, there's more heroic characters.
Mm-hmm.
There's more kind of cross genre. So you don't have to be pigeonholed. If you have fantasy, you're over here, and if you have science fiction, you're over here, and if you have a little romance, you're over here. The children's books tend to be just stories, and the authors will use whatever elements make sense for that story. So I think, those are probably the main things.
That's cool.
So yeah, it's not as much the illustrations for me.
Yeah.
Although I recently, since I've been doing the blog, some of the publishers have sent me picture books, and I've started reading picture books more. And there is a lot of great stuff out there.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite things about teaching kindergarten, is that that was kind of a thing that we used as a tool in the language arts program that the school district had, was using picture books, you know, wordless books, I should say, that, you know, as a way to help kids see the connections between the pictures and words and that kind of thing. It was really neat to hear, because I would have kids read the story, like, to the other kids, you know, in small groups or whatever, and to hear what they came up with just by the pictures was always just priceless. I wish I had it on recordings, because, you know, they would see things I would not see, and they would go directions that I don't think most adults would go, you know, because their imaginations just filled in the pieces. But it's pretty neat.
Oh yeah, kids are so creative. I absolutely, one of my favorite things to do is just be with kids and read books with them.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what do you think, like, I know it's a very, you know, you're very passionate about this concept of adults reading children's books. And, or, you know, what do you think, why is it important for adults to continue to read children's books throughout their adulthood?
I think there are several reasons. I think if they are adults who have children or who know children, it helps them because they can read the same books and they can talk about them with the kids. It opens up all kinds of great communication channels. I've seen a lot of good examples of that. And I think it just kind of like your whole escape adulthood thing, you know, it helps you to remind you about your childhood joy and about these stories where there are heroes and people trying to conquer evil and stuff like that. It kind of keeps your inspiration. I can't think of the word, but it keeps you inspired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's pluses. Children's books they're shorter. So for people who are really busy, they can read a children's book where they might just get bogged down and not be able to keep up with some long book.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true.
Cultural references that come out of children's books. And especially if you go back and you read children's books that you missed as a child, you may realize, oh, that's what people mean when they talk about the Velveteen Rabbit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So I think I'm not saying that all adults should sit around all day reading children's books.
Right.
But I think if you make a place for them in your life, you'll be happy that you did.
Yeah. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Well, it made me think of, okay, when, you know, most kids' routine, hopefully, I mean, this is probably naive of me to say, but hopefully most kids before bed are reading a children's book, you know, the whole read a story before bed thing. I know we always did growing up, but I hope most people are doing that these days. But it's interesting, they say as adults you should never watch the news before you go to bed. Mm-hmm. And so it's an interesting connection between the routine that a lot of families have where you read a story before you go to bed. And when you were talking, Jennifer, about, you know, they just inspire you and give you some inspiration and some, you know, joy. It's like, you know, well, how much better would the world be if everyone read a children's book before bed instead of watching the news, which is great to be informed, but not exactly the most inspiring thing before bed, you know?
Absolutely. I pretty much need to read a little bit before I go to sleep because it just takes my mind off of work, off of the news, off of whatever, and helps me to unwind.
That's cool.
And yes, I agree with you totally. Everyone, it would be wonderful if everyone was reading to their kids every night.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, we have one more question. Before we let you go, I have a question, and I want to let everyone know that we will have the link to your blog in our show notes. It is jkrbooks.typepad.com. And you definitely want to check it out because it is really a resource of epic proportions of all of the books that you track and review and keep track of. And we'll have that in the show notes, so definitely check that out. But before you go, I have probably the hardest question of all. What is your all-time favorite children's book?
Oh, that's not fair.
We should have given you a warning about that.
You can even pick one like a current or because I just
growing up.
I just got interviewed the other day, and someone asked me what my favorite cereal was, and that I love cereal. So it was like it took me 10 minutes to put together.
There are way less cereal types than children's books.
Well, granted, I'll give you that. Yes, but so yeah, we're gonna ask the children's book author what are your and we'll give you can do three if you want. You can do a couple. What's your favorite
three
children's books?
Wow. I would have spent hours thinking about this. Told me about this question ahead of time. I'm going to say Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And A Wrinkle in Time.
Mm-hmm.
By Madeline L'Engle.
Okay.
And now I'm standing looking at my rather large shelf. And The Giver.
The Giver.
By Lois Lowry.
Huh.
That sounds familiar. I can't think of what that is.
It's kind of a dystopian science fiction story.
Okay.
What happens if in the world in the future people's choices are taken away.
Hmm.
And so people not being able to see colors because, you know, everything's all regimented, and they try not to remember important things and any bad things. So they hide all the memories of all the bad things, and as a result, they lose flavors and colors and stuff like that, too.
Ah,
fascinating.
Interesting, yeah.
Could you do us a favor and email those titles, and maybe we can put those in the show notes, too, if people want to check those out, because they come highly recommended, so we make sure that people can get to those if they want to.
Sure.
Cool.
I have to write them down, otherwise I won't help you, because there are so many other great, great books.
Yeah.
These are all kind of classics.
Okay.
So, on my blog, I tend to talk more about reviewing new books.
Right.
Right. Now, I think I know what your favorite book is. Children's book. Is it Where the Wild Things Are?
That's up there, yeah.
Okay.
I've got quite a few, yeah. I would have a hard time, too, and I'm not nearly as versed in the number of titles there are, but yeah, that's a classic one. Hungry, Hungry Caterpillar is one of those basic ones that I like, too.
Isn't it The Very Hungry Caterpillar, though?
I
say Hungry, Hungry.
But you know what?
Bothering me, but I was going to let it go.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That's my kindergarten teacher sign coming out. It's not
very
Hungry, Hungry.
Yeah, sorry. One of my favorite ones, though, is The Twits by Roald Dahl, because my third grade teacher read that to us, like, a little bit every day, and I just thought that was the coolest thing ever, that they would talk about, you know, some of these grungy, you know, things like this, and it was just so funny and so, just takes you into another land, and I still never forget that, those days with Mrs. Smith, so.
Well, and then you have some cool stories, too, about how we guys used to go to the library all the time when you were little, and you would come back with monster books.
Come back with the same books all the time, yeah. You have monster books and dinosaur books, and yeah.
So. And I think, actually,
books.
You wrote that into the comic strip a little bit, didn't you? Jason likes to get dinosaur books.
Yeah.
It's fun talking about that stuff. It just brings a smile to your face. I'm sure you get that, too, Jennifer, when you talk to people about the books that they grew up with or are reading. It's like, how can you not smile, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. All the Roald Dahl books will make you smile. Where the Wild Things Are and all that.
Yeah.
I started a list on my site of cool girls of children's literature.
Huh.
And I started with a list of like 12 that I had picked out.
Hmm.
And so many people wrote to me. It's up to like 250 now.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Wow.
Everyone wants their favorites included and stuff like that.
Don't forget this one.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, Jennifer, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. It was really fun.
We could talk to you for hours.
Yeah, it was really fun getting
your perspective.
I know, me too. And,
thanks for asking me.
You bet. Take care and keep us abreast of any new things that are going out, or if you have a killer book that comes out that people need to know about, let us know.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll do that, and I'll certainly keep checking out your stuff, too.
Cool.
Helps me keep this childlike balance, reading Escape Adulthood and your comic strips and all that stuff, too.
Good to hear. Thank you, Jennifer.
You take care, Jennifer. Good talking with you.
You too, Kim, Jason. Have a great day.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Well, that was very fun. I enjoyed talking with Jennifer. I thought one of the most notable things was how she talked about how, you know, why she got interested in children's books, and it had a lot to do with her family.
Mm-hmm.
That whole connection.
Her
to
mom, her grandma, her dad even.
Yeah.
It's cool, too, like she had mentioned that her grandma still read children's books.
As an elderly person.
Yeah.
That is cool.
That is very cool, yeah.
You know?
And I would bet $1 million that she's probably a pretty childlike person. So.
Definitely. The other thing, tying in the passion thing again from last month, is if you have a passion, how important it is to like live that passion and share it with those around you, because that will actually kind of keep that alive in other people.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about how Jen is kind of like a superhero, and that she has this normal sort of day job, but then she has this alter ego that some people might not know about. It's not like she keeps it secret or anything like that, but this whole thing of this mission that she has, and she tries to sneak in times to be able to write in her blog and read the books and stuff. So another modern day superhero, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
One of of these lucky contestants will win his or her weight in fish right here on
Wheel of Fish.
Oh, goody, goody. I've done a good thing, and I get a prize.
In our promotion segment, last month, we had the question, what were you most passionate about as a little kid? And that was based off of, again, our conversation with Eliz Green. And we said that the winner would get a book by Eliz, Passion for Life. So yes. Who was the winner, Kim?
Well, the winner was Joni from Tennessee. And she sent us an email saying, when I was little, I was way into dolls and playing house. I would play this for hours every day. After I got married, I started my career in accounting, which I enjoyed. But it wasn't enough. I knew I wasn't being completely fulfilled. I now have the career of being a full-time stay-at-home parent. I love caring for my three little ones and can see this I love caring for my three little ones and can see that this has been my passion all along.
So, interesting.
Yeah. It's like, again, what we talked about with Liz of like what you were passionate about as a kid comes back and got to listen
to
that.
Offers clues. Yeah. Thanks, Joni. That's really cool. Thanks for emailing that in, and we'll send you out a copy of Eliz's book. I hope you enjoy it.
I know you will.
Yeah, it's a good book. And so what's on tap for this month's promotion?
Yes, this month's promotion, we want you to email us again the answer to this question. What was your favorite children's book? And you can call or email us.
Only one?
I know. It's tough.
It'll be tough. You can give us a top five list if you want, top 10, whatever.
That's true. But you got to pick one as the number one.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you have trouble, you know.
And you don't have to just email us. You can also call us if that's quicker.
That's right. And what's the number again, Kim?
The number is 608-554-0803.
There you go.
Yes. And by the way, the winner will win a $20 gift certificate to the lemonade stand.
Ooh, that's nice. So they can get anything they want?
Yes, anything.
Very generous of you.
You're welcome.
Welcome to KimandJason.com.
Supply of misinformation is Mr. Noda.
All right, now we're to the K&J update portion of our show. Some of you may have noticed on Jason's blog he launched a week or so ago the Escape Plan TV project that we're working on. We've talked about the Escape Plan many times.
About the show a little bit last episode, too.
Yeah.
What we were kind of working on.
Yep. So we're totally pumped because we got a trailer up on Jason's blog. And if you're a Club K&J member, you can actually view the entire 12-minute episode on our clubhouse there.
About 11 minutes.
12 minutes.
Yeah, we got to edit it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and the first episode took place in San Francisco.
Filmed on location.
Yes, very cool. So the other neat thing is that, I don't know if it'll be our second or third one, but anyway, we just got back from Clearwater Beach, Florida, and so that we also taped our show down there. So that, you want to give them a little hint on one of the challenges maybe?
our experiment, maybe?
Yeah.
We did a little experiment. One of the challenges is to conduct a silly experiment. And so if you haven't heard, Florida is a place where everyone in the world goes to retire.
Including someone from Hawaii who we met.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's about. You know, people from Hawaii have to get away from it all. So we decided to count how many elderly people that we saw walking along the beach. So we counted 50 people, and you'll have to wait to see the show to find out what percentage of the 50 people were what we call bokas.
Bokas are anyone retirement age or above.
Yes.
We've defined that.
Yes, because there's a lot of communities like Boca Raton and things like that in Florida.
If you've ever watched Seinfeld, you know what we're talking about.
But that's what we came up with.
And it's one of those things where I think it's so cool that they are actually living what they want to do, you know?
They're doing
so
it, yeah.
Certainly not. Not a bad thing at all, but
okay. So keep an eye out for that. The episode will be up for free in probably a week or so, and anyone can watch it. If you're a Club K&J member, right now you can watch it.
Yeah,
right now. The other thing we have going on, we're pretty excited about, is with St. Patrick's Day coming up.
Oh, nice accent.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, so with that coming up, we have kind of a neat promotion going on at the lemonade stand, and it is feeling lucky. So here's the deal. Anyone who places an order between now and St. Patrick's Day wins something.
Okay.
You get a lucky ticket in your order with some sort of a free prize, a coupon or something, free shipping, something like that. Six people who win something will get a gold ticket in their order. And that has things like a Adulthood Stinks apron, like a cooking apron. There's a cool morphing mug that is black, but when it heats up, it reveals the picture underneath.
Oh, that's cool.
And you could also win a $100 gift certificate, the level of Club K&J, level 3, which is worth $100.
Okay.
So a bunch of different things. Then here's the best part. One person will win their wish list.
Okay.
So you go to the lemonade stand.
Thousands and thousands of dollars?
Well, it's only up to $200.
Okay.
We're
that's
a small
good.
Outfit yeah. right now. Someday, maybe. But that's still pretty good, okay? You can get $200 worth. You go to the store. You place an order. You make a wish list. If you have an account with the store, you can make a wish list of all
sure.
the stuff
just
that
like
you want to get.
Just like on Amazon and all the other
sites. Just like on Amazon. We're no different than them, except in the budget, okay? So one person will be revealed that anyone from now until then who has a wish list on the store, one person will win their wish list.
Okay.
So that's, I think, a pretty cool thing.
That's
so
pretty sweet.
The winner will be revealed on St. Patrick's Day.
Appropriately.
Which is a Saturday on an episode of Escape Plan TV.
Ah.
How cool is that?
And where will we be?
The drawing will be taking place in Colorado.
Sweet.
So we'll have kind of a neat background.
Okay. Maybe we can do it at the zoo with those giraffes.
Maybe. That would be good.
Maybe they can pick the ticket.
Whatever one
they eat. Tongue.
Yes. So we'll have the link up for more information on the store, Feeling Lucky. But all you have to know is and you place an order, make out a wish list, and you're eligible to win.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
good luck.
One other thing, you had said that one of the prizes was a $100 subscription, the third level of
yes.
Club K&J.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that a lot of people don't realize with that third level subscription is that you actually get a custom, one-of-a-kind drawing from Jason.
Yes.
Like, you hand-draw.
Hand-draw it, sign
a Kim
it.
And Jason drawing that will never be duplicated.
That's right.
So I think that's pretty notable. I mean, quite honestly, it should be a lot more than $100. That's just between you and me.
Well, it's at least worth $20.
Okay.
Let's just say that. Okay.
All right. Cool.
There it is. The holy grail of Christmas gifts. The Red Ryder 200-shot range model air rifle.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
That is so cool.
Cool.
Oh, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen.
All right, now for the cool thing portion of our show. This is something cool to help you escape adulthood. And all this talk of balancing play and fun and your, you know, adult serious life made me think of a book that we have on our lemonade stand that is awesome. It's called Living Out Loud, Activities to Fuel a Creative Life, and it's by Carrie Smith. And I'm going to read the little part on the back because it does a much better job explaining itself than I would. Living Out Loud is the perfect prescription for a creative jumpstart to your life. The games, projects, activities, crafts, postcards, and fun ideas inside will spark your imagination and send you off on an exciting journey of discovery where you'll find inspiration lurking all around you and within you. Uncover your inner creative genius and dare to live out loud. Now, this book is spiral bound. It's very much like
hardcover.
Yep. Like, take it with you, live it, have fun with it. One of the coolest things that I saw in it, there's a section, it's called permission cards.
Okay. What's a permission card?
Well, a permission card are these very colorfully created.
Is it like one of those big wooden things attached to a key that you can use to go to the bathroom when you're in school?
Or at the gas station. No.
Okay.
But not a similar concept at all, okay? Basically, it's this fold-out thing in the book that they're perforated, they're colorfully painted, and you fold and rip them, and there's, I don't know, probably 35, 50 little permission cards here. And what you do, tear out the cards, place them in a bowl, close your eyes and pick one, and every day you have to pick out a permission card and do it. Now let me read you some of these because they are inviting. Okay.
Nap.
Nap.
Like
I know
that's
that was my
one.
First one. Vent. That is one. Begin. That's kind of very open-ended. A lot of these are very open-ended. Another one is dance.
Another one is let go. And yet another one is receive. So it's just fun. There's like laugh, transform, express, choose, play, heal. Just those things that sometimes in life as an adult you need permission to do some of these things. So the book is filled with just very cool activities that will force you to make time for yourself and to become more childlike in your life. So
living out loud, huh?
Yeah. Cool. I want this book. Can I keep this one?
It's currently in our closet. I mean, warehouse.
Yes. Well, I would like to keep it, so.
Anyway. Okay, we'll see about that. We'll see if we can organize that in your contract. Okay, today's Mindbender answer. Cindy Lou Who. The question was, what age, how old is Cindy Lou Who? And the answer is 74 years old. No, I'm kidding.
That doesn't rhyme.
Cindy Lou Who was no more than two. And if you're wondering, she was the one, she caught the Grinch stealing her Christmas tree.
Oh, she was that cute little...
Cindy Lou Who,
She was a little tiny little who.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the one. Okay, so she was no more than two, so that is the correct age. So did you get that?
No, but now that I know that, woo or who and two rhyme, so you knew it was going to be...
Well, it could have been like Cindy Lou Who was 72... Yeah. Could have been.
But if you knew who Cindy Lou Who was, exactly. She wouldn't be 72.
Exactly. All right. Moving on.
What's up, Doc? Now, this won't hurt a bit.
Today's prescription is a simple one and a very effective one. Browse the children's book section of your local bookstore. Read a few of the picture books. Look for some of your old favorites. I guarantee you that there is no better prescription to help you escape the dullness of adulthood for a few moments. Works every time.
Definitely. Well, that's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes featuring links for some of the things we talked about here today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, and remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.